In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So if you're counting, this is the 10th Sunday after Pentecost. And as you know, there will be many more Sundays after Pentecost. In our liturgical calendar that we follow, this season time is also known as ordinary time. We adorn our sanctuary, our lectern, our pulpit, our altar, usually with green linen or what we call all season linen, which is pretty nice because it has all the colors in it. So it works for any time. And you can see also, usually what I'm wearing also matches that linen. We are in year A of that liturgical calendar. And there are 3 years that we cover all or as much of the Bible as we can. Year A, B, and C. And so in this year of A, in this season of ordinary time between Pentecost and Advent, we are on track one, and this starts to get confusing. And I know even more so when we're dealing with the reading selected for the daily offices in our prayer book, right at the beginning of morning prayer, of noonday and evening prayer and compline. Oh, are we in year one or are we in year two? Does anybody know? Year one. Oh, but don't worry about all that confusion, because the Episcopal Church, thanks be to God, has a wonderful, useful app that keeps track of all of this for us. And so we have the very simple task of just copy and paste. And hopefully we got the bulletin right. So we simply copy and paste, and it's manageable. And at the bottom, I'm going to expose a little bit of a professional secret here, I guess. But if you just keep scrolling down on that app, on the readings for that day, you also see Bible study and sermons. And we occasionally, when we get stuck, we read through some of those sermons from fellow clergy. And they are often very helpful. But with all of that complex liturgical matching and patterns going on, all those seasons and years and Sundays and weekdays, we pause today on this feast day. Today, August 6th, is the important Feast of the Transfiguration. And we are in white because it is the color of the burial garments of our Lord Jesus Christ. The liturgy of this feast takes precedence over the 10th Sunday after Pentecost. And there are a handful of others that take precedence, and they all relate to Jesus Christ. So we break from the patterned readings that we've been following this summer. The readings from Genesis, Paul's letter to the Romans and the Corinthians, and the Gospel according to Matthew. And we do this to commemorate that Jesus was transfigured before his closest disciples, Peter, John, and James, how his glory and majesty were revealed to them in dazzling white, light shining brighter than any light they'd seen on the mount, and how God's voice proclaimed, "This is my Son, my chosen. Listen to him." But all of that incredible event happened so ordinarily. Jesus took with him, and this is how the gospel opens, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went to the mountain to pray. You all showed up this morning on Sunday to worship, to give thanks, and to pray during this ordinary time. But those three disciples, they were very close to Jesus. And if you recall, those are the first three that Jesus called and asked, "Follow me." Those first three. And while Jesus was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became dazzling white. Moses was transfigured also. And we heard that in the reading from Exodus. His face was shining so bright, he eventually had to cover it so that it would not be fearful in front of the Israelites. And it shone that bright because Moses was that close to God, talking with him, speaking with him, being taught and given those commandments for his people. Peter realized the significance of this moment of Jesus' transfiguration, so much so that he offered to commemorate the event by building three dwellings. And if you look at the footnotes on dwellings, it means tent. Or in the time of the Israelites, the holy tent, a shrine. So that was what Peter was referring to in order to honor Jesus and Elijah and Moses. But the disciples kept silent and in those days told no one the things that they saw. But later on, Peter would tell of these events and of the transfiguration when the time was right and when the people needed to hear. The Feast of the Transfiguration comes at a time in our season of ordinary time, not quite halfway through, but close enough. And it's still a good time for us to pause, to do a check-in, and to reflect. How are we doing in this ordinary time? How's my life as a Christian going? Am I keeping Christ first in my life? How are my friends doing? Can I be a brighter light to my brothers and sisters and to my neighbors? We have also been transfigured. We prefer nowadays to use the term transformed. We hear that often from our fellow Christians in our faith communities. We say, "I was transformed. Oh, that sermon was so awesome. I was transformed." Yes. Or that experience that I spent last summer on mission trip, working in the community, doing home repairs for people in need, for neighbors in need. That experience was transformative. That's our transfiguration. But we hold transfiguration a little loftier because that's the feast of Jesus' transfiguration. So Peter and John and James, they were also transformed. They were witnesses to what Peter describes as Jesus' majesty. And they heard the voice of God conveying honor and glory upon Jesus. The same way Peter testifies to this, that John the Baptist testifies to hearing that same voice, saying a similar phrase, "This is my Son with whom I am well pleased." Peter testifies all this in his second letter to the faithful and to the new faithful in order to confirm what is their and what is our faith, what our faith is about. Jesus is divine. The disciples knew that after that event on the Holy Mount. This was no longer just a teacher, no longer just a prophet. This was the Son of God. And His ministry took on new meaning to them. His prophetic message, they paid more attention to it, closer attention to it. They understood. Peter began to understand that this is a message of love and compassion, a message of healing and service. And that's all confirmed because Peter testifies to the faithful new church. Peter goes on to tell us that we will do well when we are attentive ourselves, living as that light of Christ. He describes it as a lamp shining in a dark place. And we might as well just say it, a broken world. We are living extensions of that light that shone from Jesus on that mountain. Peter understood the connection of that holy light with the Holy Spirit. The Word, the light, is shared with us through the Holy Spirit. And our faces shine through our acts of love and compassion and service. So let's pause during this ordinary time. Let's reflect. Let's get ourselves refreshed. Let's reflect on our memories of those times in our lives when we felt transformed, when we experienced the Spirit, the light of God. Give thanks and praise for these moments, even those that happened at first in the dark. And then remember that light that touched you and then was so bright that it shined through your face. Amen.